Tomorrow, the highest court in Pennsylvania will consider whether to overturn the automatic life in prison without parole sentences of two men convicted of murder when they were teenagers. That's because in June, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it's unconstitutional to automatically require juveniles to go to prison for life with no possibility of parole. As a result of that ruling, 29 other states are also having to revisit their juvenile sentencing guidelines. But Pennsylvania's prisons have more so-called juvenile lifers than any other state. So let's check in with Mariah Belingit, who covers juvenile justice for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. She joins us from NPR member station WESA in Pittsburgh. Mariah, first, why does Pennsylvania have so many juvenile offenders in prison for life without parole?
Well, there's a number of factors that's driving that number, but I think two are really critical. First, Pennsylvania has something called direct file for anybody that's charged with homicide. That means if you're charged with homicide, regardless of your age, you automatically end up in adult court. And that's not necessarily true of other crimes. That's how we've ended up with 9-year-olds, 11-year-olds in adult court. Mm. And some of those cases do get transferred back to juvenile court, but it requires a pretty persuasive argument from the defense attorney. And prosecutors, even when the defendants are very young, will often fight that move. The second thing that's really driving that number is Pennsylvania requires that judges sentence those convicted of both first and second degree murder to serve life sentences. Second degree murder is what's called felony murder in Pennsylvania. That means that you only have to participate in the underlying felony that results in somebody's death to be found guilty of second degree murder. And again, the mandatory penalty for that is life without parole. So that nets everybody from the shooter to the getaway driver to the lookout guy. You may not even be aware that your accomplice was going to commit murder or even had a lethal weapon to be convicted of felony murder. And some have said that because kids tend to act in groups, they're more likely to be swept up by a second-degree murder conviction.
So Pennsylvania has a particularly high number of juvenile lifers behind bars, and it now has to figure out whether these people might have to be resentenced. So that's created quite a dilemma for the courts. What is the Pennsylvania legal system, judicial system, thinking at this point about how it's going to proceed?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has created a dilemma for the courts because criminal court judges face a pretty serious quandary. They only have one option if they convict somebody of first or second degree murder, even if they're a juvenile.
Only one option, meaning they had to sentence them to life in prison without parole.
Under the statute, that's currently their only option. So they're sort of between a rock and an unconstitutional place. They can either follow the statute and sentence them to life, but that would currently be unconstitutional under the Miller decision.
The Miller decision being the Supreme Court decision that came down in June.
Yes.
We should clarify here that the Supreme Court didn't say that you can't ever sentence juveniles to life in prison without parole, only that you can't do it automatically, that you have to decide each case individually. What are the various options that the Pennsylvania criminal justice system has right now? I mean, do they have to resentence all 480 people who were sent to life in prison without parole when they were juveniles?
That's one of the issues that the state Supreme Court is going to attempt to sort out. The Superior Court locally here has remanded a case for resentencing, but they gave very vague instructions as to how that resentencing should occur. And that is actually one of the specific questions posed to the High Court of Pennsylvania, which is what is the appropriate remedy to make sure that the state complies with Miller v. Alabama, and what will those resentencing hearings look like?
What some states seem to be saying is, okay, if we can't require that these juveniles serve life without parole, we're at least going to make sure that they're not eligible for parole for a really, really long time. In the case of North Carolina, they're saying not for at least 25 years. In the case of Iowa, 60 years. Has Pennsylvania floated this idea? And if so, how many years might it be before these juvenile lifers could be eligible for parole?
I have not heard that idea floated at all. I have heard a proposal from the Juvenile Law Center, which advocates on behalf of youth that are in these situations. They would like to see all juvenile sentences capped at 40 years, but I have not heard any proposal floated to just commute the sentences to some extremely long term that could essentially be equivalent to a life term.
This case, not surprisingly, has stirred up extremely strong feelings, both from victims' families and from advocates for juvenile offenders. What are both sides saying?
I recently spoke to a woman whose son was convicted of fatally shooting a man when he was 15. He actually rode his bike to go buy the gun because he didn't have a driver's license. And she said that he's deeply remorseful and that he's a good man that made a dumb mistake as a hot-headed teenager and that he's really already paid his price. You know, he's 33 now. He's been in long enough. And he's educated himself while he's been in prison. He's served as a supportive family members to her other children. He corresponds with them frequently, checks in on their grades. And she believes that if he was released, he would make a positive contribution to society. And obviously for victims' families, this has really been jarring for them. Many of the people I've spoken to said they really received some modicum of closure when they learned that those who were convicted of killing their loved ones were going to jail for the rest of their lives and that there was no chance that they would ever be released. So some of them are saying they're reliving the days of the trials, the days after they learned that their loved one was dead. And if, for example, they are asked to contribute testimony to a resentence hearing or a parole hearing, it would mean that they would have to go back to court and experience all of those things again and relive all of those things again. But a lot of them really want to be a part of the process. They want to be kept in the loop. They want to be able to weigh in on how the process plays out. And they certainly want to be a part of the process if, for example, the person who killed their loved one has the opportunity to be paroled. They want to be able to give their input. But it is something that will be immensely emotionally taxing for them. So they're sort of bracing for that, but at the same time advocating that their voice is heard.
And in the meantime, the juvenile lifers who are now in prison may continue to stay in there?
That's likely the case. And it's important also to keep in mind that even if they get resentenced, A, they could get resentenced to life without parole again. And I think there's a large fear that that could happen. I spoke to one judge who I asked, you know, you knew what their crimes were. If you had an opportunity to learn about their background, about their upbringing, which is what the Supreme Court is asking judges to do now, consider where a child came from, would you sentence them to something other than life without parole? And this judge told me, absolutely not. I would give all of the juvenile defendants who came before me on homicide charges and were convicted of first or second degree murder, I would absolutely give them life without parole again. So even if they're resentenced, even if they hammer all of this out and say you have to resentence all of these juvenile defendants, many of them could get life without parole again.
Mariah Belingit covers juvenile justice for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mariah, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.